Go ahead and turn in your Bible to Exodus 33. We're going to actually have three different passages that we're going to be reading from today. So Exodus 33, Luke 24, Revelation 21. I'll point you to those later on, but if you can put your finger there or put your little bookmarker from your Bible there. Earlier when I was sharing about Katie and we prayed for her, one of the things that I wanted to do was give you a Lottie Moon update. But since Jerry is so popular, I couldn't talk with her before church. And it was as if the Lord spoke to her and told her to go give me the latest Lottie Moon, because that's what she brought me. So, you know that we've exceeded our goal of Lottie Moon, but you don't know maybe how much. Now, with this last total, our Lottie Moon offering is $6,245. Amen. And our goal was $4,500, so we have just blown that out of the water. Praise the Lord. And thank you for your faithfulness, church, to give. And we know that the Lord is going to use that in a mighty way for His glory and honor. So today we start a new sermon series. And one of the neat things about the International Mission Board, of whom we talk to in great detail, one of the things that they do is to make online studies available for everyone. So you can go to their website and you can do a number of different studies through that. And these are some of the same studies that our IMB missionaries go through in preparation to go on to the mission field. How many of you have gone through deepened discipleship? A lot of people have gone through that. That is comes straight from the IMB website. That is where that deepened discipleship comes. And so a while back, I came across another one called God's Glory Among the Nations. And this is one of the classes offered through the IMB. And so I decided to take the study for my own benefit. And then the Lord prompted me to do a sermon series based upon this study. And if you go to the website, as stated on their website, the vision of the IMB through this study is to see a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language knowing and worshiping Jesus. Their passion is to see God receive glory that is due His name. That's their number one goal. And the IMB desires to help followers of Christ like you and me, right? They desire to help us know what the mission of God is and what our tasks as missionaries are, not just overseas, because we're not all called to go overseas, but right where we live, what our task is as missionaries. And so they desire for us to discover our role in exalting God and seeing Him worshiped among the nations. So this morning, we start this brand new series. And in this series, as we go through it together, I'm going to use some of their content from the study. Other times, I'm going to use my own content, and that will be from what the Lord has been teaching me through this. And I'm really excited for this new series. I truly believe that God is going to use it in a mighty way to inspire us as a church, as individuals, as families, to be on mission for Him. And so as we begin this new series focused on God's glory, I want to ask one question this morning and answer it based upon what God's Word says. And here's the question. What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? So in the Old Testament, and we're going to focus on that first, the word glory in the Hebrew language is derived from the word kabod, which means heavy. It literally means heavy. And so in the Hebrew language, when you wanted to give something or someone honor and recognition, you would use this word. In this way, they would become heavy or weighted. This means that they would have substance and importance. So in Psalm 19:1, when David wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God and the sky proclaims the work of His hands," what he was literally saying is, the heavens declare the heaviness and the weight of God. The heavens declare the heaviness and weight of God. Not to mean that he was overweight, you know, that type of thing, but that he has substance. There's something to him. He's unmovable, immovable. The heavens declare the heaviness and weight of God. And one passage of scripture that I want us to focus on this morning is found in Exodus 33. So if you haven't already turned there, go ahead and turn over there if you will. Exodus 33, we're going to read in just a minute, 12 through 23. Just a background behind this passage, as the children of Israel move from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land, God tells Moses that he will not go with such a stubborn and rebellious people. Remember? What did he call them? What did he actually call them? Stiff-necked, right? God says, I'm not going to go in there with these stiff-necked people. They're rebellious, they're stubborn. And so Moses goes to the tent of meeting, which was just really a temporary tabernacle because the permanent one hadn't been built yet. And he speaks to God about this. And Moses tells the Lord that before leading the people to the Promised Land, that he desires to see the attributes of God so that he may know God and find favor with him. Moses does not want to travel without the presence of God. And so Moses speaks to the Lord. And let's read it together. Look at verse 12. We're going to read down to verse 23. Moses said to the Lord, look, you have told me, lead this people up, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I will know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have indeed found favor in your sight, please teach me your ways, and I will know you and find favor in your sight. Now, consider that this nation is your people. Then he replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If your presence does not go, Moses responded to him, don't make us go up from here. How will it be known that I and your people have less and found favor in your sight unless you go with us? I and your people will be distinguished by this from all the other people on the face of the earth. Then the Lord told Moses, I will do this very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, notice, please let me see your glory. He said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name Yahweh before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he answered, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. So the Lord said, here is a place near me. You are to stand on the rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will make my hand away from you, and you will see my back, but my face will not be seen. So we see here in this wonderful passage, Moses is speaking to the Lord. He's asking the Lord to help him. And essentially, he's praying. And so what does Moses ask for? He first says, Lord, teach me your ways in verse 13, right? He wants to know what God intends for Israel. He wants how to know how to act. He wants to know how he was going to be able to provide for his people. So Moses wants to know God more than just knowing him. He wants to know about him, but even better, he wants to know him intimately. So he says, teach me your ways. And then in verses 14 through 16, basically Moses says, show me your presence. Moses didn't want to go anywhere that God is not going with him. And so give us your presence. Show me your presence. But then notice in verse 18, he says, let me see your glory. Let me see your glory. Now, right here, here's what Moses does. He goes for broke, right? He goes for the whole enchilada. Let me see your glory. Basically, let me see the weight of your importance. Let me see who you really are. Let me see the substance of who you are. And the weight and glory of the Lord accompanies everything Moses had already asked to see. But we know that in the passage that Moses didn't get to see the entirety of God's glory, did he? He said that he would let his goodness pass before Moses, but he would only get just a glance, right? He didn't get to see the face of God. He only got to see his back. And so if Moses had have seen all of God's glory, it would have destroyed him. I mean, just seeing the back of God made Moses' shine so brightly that they had to cover it with a veil, right? And I was thinking about this, and Moses wanted to see the glory of God. You know, you and I today, have access to the very presence and glory of God in a more significant way than Moses. Well, what could be more significant than that? Well, notice this. Moses only got to see the glory of God for a moment. We have God's Spirit with us at all times. Amen. Guys, in our lives, get this. Now listen, a lot of you have been in church a long time, right? And as I've been going to a Southern Baptist church since I was conceived, okay? And I'm 53 now. That's how long I've been going to a Baptist church. A lot of you have been involved in church for a long time. Remember the mentality that people used to have? You got to dress up and go to church. Now, if you want to wear a suit to church, wear your suit to church. There's zero problem with that, okay? But the mentality was, we got to dress our best for God because we're going to be in the house of God. We're going to be in His presence at all times. The only thing is God doesn't dwell in this building, right? He dwells in us as people. And so if we're going to wear our best for God, which means a suit or a dress, whatever, we're going to have to wear our suit when we're mowing the lawn. We're going to have to wear our suit and dress when we're cleaning our toilet at home, when we're doing all those dirty jobs. Because, guys, here's the thing. In our lives, there is never a non-sacred moment. God's Spirit lives in us at all times. And so, in many ways, we have a more significant relationship with God than even Moses did in that moment. Because we have God's presence with us, His Spirit within us at all times. This means we are always in His presence. It doesn't just come and go. It's there all the time. And as you surrender more of yourself to the Holy Spirit, guess what? The more that you'll get to experience His glory, and the glory of Him will shine through you. So guys, look for it. Pray, ask for it. Prepare for it. Because God wants to reveal the weight of His existence upon you as His child. Okay? So that gives us a small glimpse of the glory of God in the Old Testament. Let's move on to the New Testament now. In the New Testament, the word glory moves from the weight of God to His majesty. So the Greek word that's used to describe glory in the New Testament is the word doxa. You've probably heard that before. We sing a song called the doxology, right? It's giving glory to God. So it's from the Greek word doxa. It describes something that has splendor and brightness. It describes someone who is preeminent and magnificent, someone who is a supreme ruler, if you will. And so in Luke 2:9, when the shepherds encountered the angel who told them about the birth of Jesus, it says the angel stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. And so literally it says the splendor and brightness and magnificence of the Lord shone around them. So in other words, it was bright out there in those fields because the glory of the Lord was around them. They saw the majesty and splendor and the preeminence and the magnificence of the Lord. But most importantly in the New Testament, the glory of God is revealed in a very literal way. It's revealed through Jesus. Amen? The glory of God is revealed in the Son, Jesus Christ. And here are some of the verses that speak of this. In John 1:14, we see the glory of God displayed through Jesus. The Word became flesh and took up His residence among us. We observed His glory as the glory of the one and only Son of Father, full of grace and truth. In Luke 2:32, it says that God's glory has been revealed through Jesus to all people. This is a promise. Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. That covers everybody. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel. Jesus is for all people. Amen? And so God's glory has been revealed through Jesus to all people. And then in Matthew 24:30, we see God's glory on display when Jesus returns. The Bible says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and with what? Great glory. Great preeminence, great majesty, great splendor, great brightness. And so we see God's glory on display when Jesus returns. But perhaps the most important thing that I want to talk about this morning is another question. Is how can we declare the glory of God? Or how do we declare the glory of God? Turn with me, if you will, over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We'll read that in just a minute. The very last part of Luke. We're going to read in a minute verses 44 through 49. So how do we declare the glory of God? Luke 24, 44 through 49. This question that we are answering right now is probably one that we've asked before, maybe one that we've been asked, one that we've talked about a lot. How can my life, how can we as followers of Christ, blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ, how can our lives reveal and declare the weight and the splendor and the brilliance and the preeminence and the majesty of God? How can we convey the idea of the Old Testament thought of glory and the New Testament God of glory? How can we declare that today? How can it be made to be put on display for other people? Well, as the IMB study says, if you looked at their website, here's what they say. They say, we declare his glory, the weight of his perfect presence and character among the nations, inviting others to join us in our same admiration and worship of our glorious God. Let me read that again. We declare his glory, the weight of his perfect presence and character among the nations, inviting others to join in our same admiration and worship of our glorious God. So how do we do this? Basically what they're saying is we do it by sharing the gospel with the nations. That, guys, is how we declare the glory of God to other people. We do it by sharing the gospel with the nations, with people who need to hear. So in other words, God has given us the task of declaring his glory to the nations by telling about his son Jesus. And if you were to go over and look at Revelation 7, write that down, go look at it another time. Revelation 7 gives us a promise. Is that in heaven, how every nation and tribe and people would give glory to God. And so here's the thing. We don't have to wonder if this is going to be a reality. We see in the book of Revelation that literally every person that walks upon the face of the earth, that every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every people group will be represented in heaven. And our job is to go tell them. And so it talks about how every nation and tribe and people will give glory to God in heaven. Listen, here's the thing, guys. And this is something that is not rocket science. We know Jesus has radically changed our hearts. Has he or not? He's radically changed our hearts. Think about who you were before Christ. And I know some of us came to Christ as children, and maybe we didn't have this long history of being a sinner and all that stuff. I get that. But think about who you were before Jesus, and think about who you are now. It's a big contrast. Jesus has radically changed our heart. Hopefully you're different than where you were before. If not, maybe you need to kind of look at that. But Jesus has radically changed our hearts. And in that, guys, we have experienced the glory of God. Remember I told you earlier, there's never a non-sacred moment in our lives. We have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The one who literally spoke this world into existence. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, guys, lives in us. There's power in that. And so many times we don't tap into that power. We have experienced his glory, and because of this, we are forever changed. And because we're forever changed, We need to tell others. Guys, we are his witnesses. Whether you understand that or not, I'm telling you now, okay? If you didn't understand it before, you're going to understand it now. You are a witness of Christ. You could be a good witness or a bad witness, but either way, you're a witness. Remember what Jesus said in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you might be my witnesses? No. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we are the witnesses of Christ. In fact, let's read it. In Luke 24, 44 through 49, Jesus connected the story of God's glory by pointing to himself and to the mission that we, his people, are to fulfill. Global redemption. Let's look at it. 44 through 49. Then he told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations." There it is, beginning at Jerusalem. "You are witnesses of these things. And look, I'm sending you what my father promised. As for you, stay into the city until you're empowered from on high." He's saying, listen, wait there, and there's going to be this time when, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to speak my name. That's where it's going to start. Be saying, it's coming. And when that time comes, you guys are going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my voice. You're going to be my hands and my feet. That's why, guys, we're called the body of Christ. What does your body do? It walks, it talks, it functions, it runs, it works. Our bodies give us the ability to do what our brain tells it to do. Jesus is the brain of the operation. We're just his body. We're his voice. We're his hands and his feet. And so Jesus connected God's glory, the story of God's glory, and the mission that you and I are to fulfill, global redemption. Church, we have already been empowered. So we've entered into this mission now. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit like these guys did. We've already been filled. The moment that you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the moment that you ask Jesus to come live in your heart and life, at that moment in time, God's Spirit entered inside of you and you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we are in that mission now. We've entered into that mission now. And so we're going to discuss that more next week in next week's sermon. But the way that we declare the glory of God is by declaring his message. And guys, get this. We've been invited by God to share the best news ever. We share a lot of good news about things in our lives, and it is good news, but we have the best news of all. And God has invited us to be a part of his plan to share this message with the nations. It's a special message. It's a powerful message. And he's choosing to use you and me. And the way that God gets glory is for us to share. There's not a person in here today, if I ask you, do you want to give glory to God? Yes, I do. The way that you give glory to God is to share his name among the nations. To share his name. So the question that I ask at the beginning, go ahead and turn, we're going to read one more passage together, Revelation 21. Go ahead and turn over there if you will. Revelation, we were at the front of the Bible, now we're at the back, right? So Revelation 21. The question I asked at the beginning of this sermon is not a simple question to answer. It's pretty complex. It has many answers. How in the world can you fully describe the weight and the substance and the splendor and the brightness and the preeminence and the magnificence and the supremeness of God? It's hard to do that. So it's a hard question to answer. And in some ways, I was thinking that God's glory goes far beyond our scope of comprehension now. It's hard for us to understand all this, the glory of God. But guys, listen, there's going to be a day. We sing that song, there will be a day. There's going to be a day when we fully understand the glory of God. Guys, it's when we are face to face with our Lord in heaven. And the Bible gives us a glimpse of the reality of the glory of God in Revelation 21, 9 through 27. Let's read it together. Yeah, it's a little lengthy, but we need to hear this and we need to read it together. Besides that, I'm not going to read all the stones because I can't pronounce them. We're going to skip over that part. But let's read it together. Revelation 21, starting at verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and spoke with me. Come, I will show you the bride and the wife of the Lamb. He carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, arrayed with God's glory. Her radiance was like a very precious stone, like a jasper stone, bright as crystal. The city had a massive high wall. We're talking about the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and new earth here. The city had a massive high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels were at the gates. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel's sons were inscribed on those gates. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. The city wall had 12 foundations, and the 12 names of the Lamb's 12 apostles were on the foundations. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out in a square. Its length and width are the same. He measured the city with a rod at 12,000 stadia. Its length, width, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to human measurement, which the angel used. The building material of its wall was jasper, and the city was like pure gold. The city was pure gold like glass. The foundation of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. Let's skip forward to verse 21. Look at, you can read all those stones for yourself. Now get this, verse 21, the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made of a single pearl. The broad street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Now notice this, and this is where it gets really good here. As if that wasn't already good enough. Verse 22, I did not see a sanctuary in it, because the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its sanctuary. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because what? God's glory illuminates it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Each day its gates will never close, because it will never be night there. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There's that word again, glory and honor of the nations. And nothing profane will ever enter it. No one who does what is vile or false, but only those written in the Lamb's book of life. There'll be a day when we truly experience the glory of God. We can talk about it now and understand it a little bit, but one day we're going to understand it fully. And what a day that will be. Heaven is beautiful, but just being in the presence of God is enough. And what a day that will be. The Bible gives us a glimpse of this glory, and that's one thing that we have to focus on. So next week we're going to talk about what the mission of God is. Well, I already know what the mission of God is. Maybe you do. We're going to talk about it anyway, because there's much more that God wants us to understand through this, okay? So I hope that you'll be here next week. But guys, in thinking about all this morning, we talk about the glory of God and being on mission and sharing the gospel and understanding that that's how we proclaim the glory of God and all that. We're going to experience God's glory one day when we get to heaven. But maybe today you don't know that that's where you're going to be. Maybe today you're wondering whether or not that's going to be you. Experience God's glory in heaven. Well, I'm here to tell you today, you can know. And we do this every week, so this shouldn't surprise you. But if you see yourself today in a situation where you say, well, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can't be the body of Christ. I can't understand God's glory. I'm not going to experience God's glory in heaven because I don't know Jesus, His Son. Well, today, if you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus, here's what you need to do. Admit you're a sinner. That's for your own benefit. God already knows because He knows everything. It's your own benefit. So admit to God you're a sinner and then ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. That means we're going one way and you're going to turn around and go the other way. I don't want to go this anyway anymore. This leads to destruction. I'm going to go this way, which leads to life. So you turn away and then believe in what Jesus has done. What has He done for us? He came down from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He died. He was buried and He rose again. It proved that He was God's gift to sinful nation. But then there's a commitment that we have to make, a commitment to make Jesus our Lord and Savior, to say, I'm going to live for You for the rest of my life. You're going to be my boss. You've forgiven me, and I'm going to make You the boss of my life. That means I'm going to go where You tell me to go, I'm going to say what You tell me to say, and I'm going to do what You tell me to do, because You're number one, and I'm just Your mouthpiece. I'm Your body. I'm Your hands and feet. So maybe today that's the decision you need to make. Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment, and maybe this morning you need to make that commitment for the very first time. I would invite you, right where you are, just between you and the Lord, to pray a simple prayer of faith. Lord, I'm a sinner. I admit that to You. I'm going to promise to go in a way that follows You. I believe in what Your Son did for me on the cross, and I commit my life to You now. It's not so much about the words. It's about your heart. And that's what that's what matters most to Him, amen, is your heart. In your heart, make that commitment to follow Him. But guys, we want to know about it. Don't just keep it to yourself. Let us know. The worst thing that you could do is to make that decision and not tell anybody. So let us know. You can fill out the Connect card in front of you. You can go online, fill out the Connect card. Come talk to me later. Send me an email. Call me. Send me a text message. All that stuff is available to you. Let me know. Let somebody know. A family member. If you don't want to talk to me, let somebody know the decision you made so they can help you get to that next point in your life spiritually. But maybe there's another decision you need to make today that's unrelated to a salvation. Maybe it's to join this church. Maybe it's to surrender in some ministry that God is calling you to. Or maybe there's something else that God has been laying upon your heart to do. The invitation time is for us to let God do business in our heart and for us to make these commitments to Him. So let's use this time today to let God do work in our lives. Okay, so I'm going to pray and then we're going to let the Spirit of God work. Father, we thank You today for what we've learned about the glory of God. And Lord, for what we're going to learn through this sermon series together, Lord, I'm so excited about it. I believe that You're going to use it in such a significant way in our lives. Lord, help us to be ready for it. Prepare us for it, Lord. Lord, I pray today that if there's one here that does not know You, that they would let go and just turn and surrender to You today. Speak to their heart. I pray that they would call upon Your name this morning to be saved. Father, if there's another decision, show us what that is. Lord, we invite You now to have Your way in us. Lord, that's our prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.